Welcome back, everybody, to Christians on Campus. I'm Daniel, and we continue our Bible study on the common faith. This week, we come to item four. Item four is Christ died for our sins, shedding his blood for our redemption. We really encourage you to go back to the first three items of the common faith that are part of this Bible study. But now we come to item four. By becoming a man, God accomplished a great thing. He died for our sins. Our sins were like a debt we could not pay. So Christ came and paid it for us. In doing this, he has reclaimed ownership over us and brought us back to him. Today, we appreciate this wonderful fact by believing in him and confessing our sins. Let's look at a couple of verses. 1 Corinthians 15:3. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which also I received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. Also Ephesians 1:7, and we'll just read the first part of it. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of offenses. Christ's death solved the problem of our sins. We saw in 1 Corinthians 15:3, for I delivered to you first of all that which also I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. So why did Christ die? We can see from this verse that Christ died for our sins. Likewise, in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, who himself bore up our sins in his body on the tree, in order that we, having died to sins, might live to righteousness, by whose bruise you were healed. Both verses, then, show us that Christ's death solved the problem of our sins. From 1 Peter 2:24, which we just read, we can see how the problem of our sins was solved. Number one, God put our sins on Christ. Two, he took our sins with him to the cross. The third thing that happened is that he was literally killed for our sins. So, number four, he paid the price for all our sins. What are sins? They are offenses. That is, when we hurt others. They are transgressions. That is, when we break the rules. And they are sinful deeds, all the evil actions that we do. Remember Ephesians 1:7, the first part, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of offenses. By Christ's death, everybody, on the cross, he forgives us all our offenses. The problem of our sins has been solved, indeed, and solved eternally. Christ's death has dealt with sin. So first we saw how his death solved the problem of our sins. Now we come to this point. Christ's death has dealt with sin. Romans 8:3, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of the flesh of sin and concerning sin, condemned sin in the flesh. We already saw that Christ's death took care of the problem of sins, plural. But now we see that the Bible also says that his death dealt with sin, singular. So there's an objective problem and a subjective problem. Sin is not merely objective, outside of us. It, It is also subjective within us, in our flesh. Outwardly, we have sins, which are offenses, trespasses, and transgressions. Inwardly still, we have the basic problem of sin. Praise the Lord that Christ's all-inclusive death has not only solved the problem of our sins, but has also judged and condemned the source of our sins, that is, sin. What is this inward, subjective sin? Romans 7:16 through 21 is a passage we want to read to you. But if what I do not will, this I do, I agree with the law that it is good. Now then, it is no longer I that work it out, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but to work out the good is not. For I do not do the good which I will, but the evil which I do not will, this I practice. But if what I do not will, this I do, it is no longer I that work it out, but sin that dwells in me. I find then the law with me who wills to do the good, that is the evil, is present with me. So what is sin? According to the passage in Romans 7, we can see that sin is actually the sinful nature of Satan. Satan is the source of sin. Sin is Satan's invention, and Satan himself is the element of sin. Let's briefly look back, all the way back, at what happened with Adam and Eve. At the time of man's fall, Satan's sinful nature was injected into mankind. This means that when man ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he took into him the sinful nature of Satan. So now we come again back to the New Testament. Let's look at Matthew 16:23. But he, the Lord Jesus, turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of men." Therefore, everyone, actually, in the sight of God, sin is Satan. Can you see this from the verses in Romans and Matthew? Christ's death has destroyed Satan. This is another point. We saw the matter of sins. Then we saw the matter of sin. But we really like to see this point. Christ's death has destroyed Satan. Hebrews 2:14. Since therefore the children have partaken of blood and flesh, he also himself in like manner shared in the same. You remember we saw this verse in a previous Bible study about Christ's incarnation. And I'll continue with the verse. That through death he might destroy him who has the might of death, that is the devil. This verse indicates that in his humanity and through his death in the flesh, Christ destroyed Satan, the one who has the power of death. So on the negative side, Christ's all-inclusive death has solved the problems of sins, sin, and Satan. He actually also dealt with the old man, the old creation, the world, and the ordinances. And all of these are for another time. So we said on the negative side, his death took care of these things. How about on the positive side? Before we go on to the positive side, I just have to say, it is a wonderful fact that through the death of Christ, Satan was destroyed. Now, Christ's death also released the divine life. John 12:24 The Lord Jesus himself said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." He was referring to himself and his death. This verse refers to Christ's death. His all-inclusive death released the divine life that was within him. And this life bore much fruit. God started with a single grain, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. And through the death of Christ, he now has many grains. We're not going to get into this now, but do you know what the much fruit is? Remember in verse John 12:24, it bears much fruit. Do you know what the much fruit is, which is mentioned in John 12:24, that was produced by the releasing of the divine life? Consider this. We may get into this in the future. With Christ's death on the cross, he accomplished an eternal redemption. Hebrews 9:12, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered once for all into the Holy of Holies, obtaining an eternal redemption. What is this redemption? The word redeem means to purchase back something which originally was yours, but which had become lost. This redemption is exactly what Christ accomplished through his death. We originally belonged to God. We were his possession. However, due to our involvement with sin, we all became lost. Nevertheless, God did not give us up. He paid the price to have us back, repossessing us at a great cost. The shedding of Christ's blood on the cross has obtained an eternal redemption for us. The best news of the day is, you guys, the best news of the day is that today, when we believe into Christ and confess our sins, we receive a full forgiveness of all our offenses, that we may return to God. We'll end with a prayer to receive the divine life. We invite you to pray with us, even to repeat this prayer. Oh, Lord Jesus, I open my heart to you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I am a sinner. Forgive me and take away all my sins. I believe into you and I receive you. Come into me and be my life. Lord Jesus, I love you.